This is week five of In Sync with the Holy Spirit. Next week I'm going to be speaking on releasing the guilt of the past. Okay, and that will be my last Sunday for at least 5 weeks, because Sally and I will be taking a well-earned break. Well, a break. I don't know if I'm taking a break. I'm actually driving across to Sydney in our car with all our kids and Sally. And for 5 weeks, so it's going to be, I need your prayers, all right, I need your prayers, and they will need your prayers as well. But anyway, we're going to have a good time, and you'll be in good hands. I've got some great speakers coming to present the word to you. But today I want to speak on our last one, number five, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? And I'm going to be recapping on a few of the things over the last 4 weeks that I've been speaking on. So you just got to bear with it, but you'll get the crux of the power of the Holy Spirit at the end. But this is going to be a long, long sermon. So get comfortable, all right? But I want to tell you a little story first. I love telling stories, and those who are visiting here today, you'll know that I love telling stories, because that's who I am. I'm a storyteller. And I'll tell you the fish that I caught the other week. Okay. But in 1935, Belisio Coguso, okay, a school teacher in Rwanda, Central Africa, was deeply discouraged by the lack of life in the church and the powerlessness in his own experience. He followed the example of the first Christians and closed himself in for a week of prayer and fasting in his little cottage. He emerged a changed man. He confessed his sins to those he had wronged, including his wife and children. He proclaimed the gospel in the school where he taught, and revival broke out, resulting in students and teachers being saved. They were called Abaka, which is meaning people on fire. And I love the word this morning that was given, Holy Spirit fire. There were people on fire. Shortly after that, Blizio was invited to Uganda to share with the Anglican church there. As he called the leaders to repentance, the fire of the Spirit descended again on the place with similar results in Rwanda. Several days later, Blizio died from a fever. His ministry lasted only a few weeks, but the revival fires sparked through his ministry swept through East Africa and continue to the present day. On my first visit to Uganda about 8 years ago, we went to one church which was called the People on Fire Church, and it was from his ministry. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been transformed over decades through this mighty, mighty ministry. It all began with a discouraged Christian setting himself apart to seek the fullness of God's Spirit. And that's what it takes in every generation. Men and women of God to experience a holy dissatisfaction with the way things are and with the faith to become everything God wants them to be. And how exciting was it to see our interns and then Chrissy come up and say, read that passage in the book of Acts, of just saying, yeah, let's see it again. We want to see the miracles. We want to see the signs and wonders again. Amen? There have been great revivals throughout the world since the church began. But each one of these revivals began with a personal revival of the heart, which then spilled over into other people's lives. And the next thing you know, the entire church was on fire from power from high, from the power from on high. That powerful revival and renewal finds its source in one place and one place only. It comes from the Holy Spirit when you allow ourselves to be filled with His presence. If you're looking for that Holy Spirit power today, I encourage you to listen up, because I want to tell you how to possess that power from the Word of God. Now, if you're a Christian, you're to follow these three things that are about you. Okay, and in your outlines, I've actually filled everything in for you today so you can concentrate more. So if you are a Christian, number one, God has given you His indwelling Spirit. Okay, over the last 4 weeks, I've been speaking of this. Just before Jesus was crucified and risen from the dead, he made a wonderful promise to his disciples. He said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do, because he lives with you now and later will be in you." That's from John 14, 16 to 17. See, prior to Jesus' ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit worked with his disciples. But Jesus said there was a coming of time when the Spirit would be in those who were Christians. And just before Jesus left the earth, he gave this promise in Acts 1:8. "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will let tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And on the day of Pentecost, after having received this gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter got up and preached a sermon where the Spirit was promised to all others. In Acts 2:38, he says, "Each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And of course, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself. In other words, God himself has promised to literally indwell in those who place their faith in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Saviour. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 says, "Don't you realise that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will bring ruin upon anyone who ruins this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you Christians are that temple." Now, the reason this is so important is because you and I need to know that God is fully and completely available to us 24/7. Remember I said we have a personal trainer that doesn't cost us a thing right by our side in us 24/7. And the reason we know this is because he is with us. He is in us. He's literally living with us right now, this very, very moment. You do not need to go searching for God, because God is here. He's within you. Now, notice that I didn't say that you are God, okay? Because you're not. You are not God. But God, the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence in your body. Everywhere that you go, God goes with you. Everything that you say, God hears you. Every action that you take, you're inviting God to join you in it. That sounds scary for some, doesn't it? It's also very comforting for others. The power of God is available to you because God literally is here, present with us each and every moment of our lives. Most of us know this to be true, but how many of us actually believe it and receive it? Really, if we actually got it, would we be doing half the things that we did? If I was standing with you, behind you, beside you, 24/7, would you do the things that you do? I know my children wouldn't do some of the things that they do if I was standing over them. But God is with you 24/7. You know, a young person gave her life to the Lord about 4 weeks ago. And the following week I spoke to her. And if she's in this room, I'm not going to mention you, but I just want to encourage that person, because when I spoke to her, she had a little cross painted on her thumb. I said, "Oh, that's great." She goes, "Yeah, it just reminds me who I am now." Reminded her of who she is. How many times do we have to remind ourselves of who we are? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the living God in us 24/7. And why is it that we sometimes forget? I mean, my heart's desire is that everyone in this room be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, like in that upper room. You know, we just had a little glimpse of it this morning in the prayer room. There was only about 10 of us in there and we were praying, but we were all in sync with one another. And then all of a sudden someone yelled out a Bible verse, which I'm going to be speaking about today. Another person started speaking, gave a prophetic word, which we're going to hear a little bit later on. I'm going to ask him to use this ladder and speak about the prophetic word that he gave. We were all in sync and we were only together for about 20 minutes. Just imagine if all of us were in the upper room for days, pouring out our love and praise to God, and then the Holy Spirit just, wow. Wow. At least one of you are awake, that's good. Number two, God has given you a spiritual gift. In one of our many sessions this week, I was at a conference, it was a business conference. And I heard this story. It was from Work in Spirituality. It's a team building story that they gave. But I want to share it with you. I actually asked the speaker if I could take it off him, and he gave it to me. And it says, Max Dupree, a CEO of a large furniture company called Herman Miller Incorporated, describes a simple but profound incident that altered the culture of his organization. He said, this is his words, in the furniture industry of the 1920s, the machines of most factories were not run by electric motors, but by pulleys from a central drive shaft. Who can remember them? Very good. In the furniture industry, drive shaft. The millwright was the person on whom the entire activity of the operation depended. He was the key person. One day, the millwright died. My father, being a young manager at the time, did not know what to do when the key person died, but thought he ought to go and visit the family. He went to the house that he was invited to join the family in the living room, and the widow asked my father if it would be all right if she could read aloud some poetry. Naturally, he agreed. She went to another room, came back with a bound book, and for many minutes she selected pieces of beautiful, amazing poetry. When she finished, my father commented on how beautiful the poetry was and asked, who wrote it? She replied that her husband, the millwright, was the poet. It is now 60 years on since the millwright died, and my father and many of us at Herman Miller continue to wonder, was he a poet who did the millwright's job, or was he a millwright who wrote poetry? That's how it is in the church, isn't it? We have factory workers who are teachers, door welcomers. We have homemakers who are teaching Sunday school. We have lawyers, accountants, directors, school teachers, policy and procedure people, engineers, real estate people, mechanics, who are all serving in ministries in the church or on boards or as summer's elders, retirees serving and equipping, uni students that work with our youth, and so on and so on and so on. The beautiful thing about having God's Spirit inside you is that He not only gives you the gift of Himself, but He supernaturally empowers you by giving you a spiritual gift you did not have before you became a Christian. Now, we're not talking about here a natural talent. I mean, I, for one, have got many natural talents. But about God giving you a gift to do something for His glory in the church. I'll say that again. We're not talking here about natural talent, but about God giving you a gift to do something for his glory in the church. Something that you did not have the ability to do before. 1 Corinthians 1, 12, 4-7 says, now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. Okay, so we know that. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as means of helping the entire church. Wow. You have a spiritual gift to help the church. You have a special gift to help the church. You do. You do. You do. You all have a spiritual gift to help the church. If you are a Christian, you have one. You have one. Or the VMTC crew, you have one. Now, I want you to notice that you are specifically given the spiritual gift as means to assist the church. Can I have some water, please? There's... near the speaker? Great, thank you. That's why they couldn't hear themselves sing. Okay. There are various lists of ministry gifts that we find in the New Testament, all right? Including leadership, that may be being a connect group leader, a youth leader, a woman's leader, children's leader, men's and elders on the board, members, hospitality, welcome, flowers, serving in the cafe, opening up your home to new families, faith, giving, and so on and so on. And I don't believe these lists are exhaustive, okay? But what is necessary for us to do is to discover what our particular gift is and then begin to using it for ministry. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given gifts to each of you from his great victory, a variety of spiritual gifts, okay? Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through them. It's amazing, isn't it? The Word of God. Question is there biblical spiritual gifts? Is there a biblical spiritual gift list? Well, yes, there is. There are actually three biblical lists of gifts of the Spirit, also known as the spiritual gifts. The three main passages describing these spiritual gifts are Romans 12, 6 and 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 11, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Now, I'll quickly go through them. The spiritual gifts identified in Romans 12 are prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership and mercy. The list of 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 11 includes the word of wisdom, okay, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. In the list of 1 Corinthians 12:28 includes healings, helps, governments, which is leadership, and diversities of tongues. Now, I want to give you a brief description of a few of these now, okay? So we get to understand what the gifts of the Holy Spirits are. So the first one is prophecy. The Greek word translated prophesying or prophecy in both passages properly means to speak forth, okay, or declare the divine will of God, to interpret the purposes of God, or to make known in any way or of truth of what God has designed to influence people. It is not fortune telling. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we end up thinking it's a fortune-telling thing that we've gifted with. It is not. It is prophecy, okay? And it's a way to design to influence people. I'd like now Alan Grover to come up to share what he shared with us this morning in the prayer room.
Sure. I walked into the back room this morning, just 10 to 9, and as soon as I walked in, I was the only person there, and this ladder was just leaning against the wall, and many of you know I'm a bit of a put-away-er thing, and I didn't. And straight away, I was quickened with a word from the Holy Spirit, which I was able to share with the group when they all came in. And I want to bring it to you, and I just pause a moment so I can bring it in the right context. I believe God was talking to me and the body. So if I get the me and the we mixed up, you'll understand. But God was saying, step up. I'm calling you all to step up. I'm calling me and calling Alan to step up. I want you to step up in your praise. I want you to step up in your worship. Step up in your heart for people. To step up in your hospitality. To step up in your service. And to step up in your encouragement. And that just weighed on me, and I thought, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for those words of encouragement through something simple, something that was just vividly there, something we'd normally put away. Actually, one of the elders went to put it away after I'd left it there, and I said, hold. And it just reinforced to me that our simple things, God can speak through us. But the word that he's saying is for each of us to step up. Step up in our quiet time. If we're giving so long, step up in a few more minutes. If we're giving that, with our hospitality and our outreach and those gifts that Pastor Kerry's been talking about. So I'll leave that with you. That was about all, wasn't it, Kerry? Yeah.
Was that word from Proverbs?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yes. And then I brought this up. And in Proverbs 24... Proverbs 21, verse 24. And the Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? That just blew me away when I read that, because I have to do it, but I don't have to plan the way. I don't have to, I'm going to do this. The Lord will direct your way. So if you feel a prompting, you see something, be obedient to that Holy Spirit.
Right, thanks, Al. Now, God has a sense of humour, doesn't he? I mean, he could have said that 4 weeks ago and I wouldn't have had to do 4 weeks of preaching on the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Lord's been trying to do through me and through his word, is by saying to you people, we need to step up. And when we step up in our praise and when we step up in our worship, when we step up in our encouraging one another and being with one another and praying, then we empty ourselves and the filling of the Spirit fills us. And then we'll see amazing things happen. Serving is another one, also referred to as ministering. The Greek word diakonion, how's that, eh? Pretty good. From which we get from the English word deacon, means service of any kind. The broad application of practical help to those who are in need. The other one is teaching. This gift involves an analysis of the proclamation of the Word of God, explaining the meaning, context, and application to the hearer's life. The gifted teacher is one who has the unique ability to clearly instruct and communicate knowledge, specifically the doctrines of the faith. Another gift is encouraging. Those who are also called exhortation. This gift is evident in those who are consistently called upon others to heed and follow God's truth, which may involve correction or building others up by strengthening weak faith or comforting them in their trials. Giving. Gifted givers are those who joyfully share what others don't have, whether it be finances or whether it be material things or giving them personal time or attention. The giver is concerned for the needs of others and seeks opportunities to share goods, money and time, and them as needs arise. leadership. The gifted leader is one who rules, presides over, or has management of other people in the church. The word literally means guide and carries with it the idea of one who steers a ship. One with the gift of leadership rules with wisdom and grace and is good looking and everything else. Wisdom and grace and exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. In his I can see my wife just go, you twit. You just blew it. Okay, so one of the gifts of leadership with wisdom and grace and exhibits the fruit of the Spirit in his life, which leads by example. So, honey, I operate in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, how do you go at all those? Mercy. Another gift is mercy, closely linked with the gift of encouragement. Okay, the gift of mercy is obvious in those who are compassionate toward others, who are in distress, showing sympathy and sensitivity coupled with the desire and the resources to lessen their suffering in a kind of a cheerful manner. A lot of you people have that gifting. Are you using it for the church? Words of wisdom. The fact that this gift is described, the word of wisdom indicates that it's one of speaking gifts. The gift describes someone who can understand and speak forth biblical truth in such a way as to skillfully apply it to the life situations with all discernment. And the only way that you're going to be a words of wisdom person is if you read the Word of God. And I just wanted to say, I know a lot of people in this room read the Word of God and they hold it to themselves. They can walk around and go, well, I know the Word of God. I don't know what Ephesians 1:4 says. I know what they can do that. And God says, good on you. But it is a gift that he has given you. Do not hold it back. I mean, there's one person that we probably all know is Mr. Stewart. Is he here this morning? There you are. I just want to encourage you. I know you've got the Gideon's Bible and you're part of the Gideon's group, but every time I speak to that man or every time I see him speaking to someone else, he will pull out his Gideon's Bible or otherwise he'll quote the Bible for that certain situation. Not him speaking, it's the Bible speaking. It's the Word of God speaking. That, my friend, is words of wisdom. Are we using that? Word of knowledge. This is another speaking gift that involves understanding truth with an insight that only comes by revelation of God. Those with the gift of knowledge understand the deep things of God and the mysteries of his word. We also know people that do that. And if someone comes to you and gives you a word from God, make sure that you can back it up through the Word of God. Because there's a lot of people out there in sheep's clothing that could give you a word that may not be the Word from God. Everything that someone gives you must be backed up by the Word of God. Be aware. Faith, the gift of faith. All believers possess faith in some measure because it is one of the gifts of the Spirit bestowed on all who become to Christ in faith. But the spiritual gift of faith is exhibited by one with a strong and unshakable confidence in God, with God, with his word, with his promises, and with the power of prayer to effect miracles. Another gift is healing. God does still heal today. Amen. The ability of men to produce miraculous healings belong to the apostles of the first century church to affirm that their message was from God. Christians today do not have the power to heal. God has the power to heal. Get that right. God has the power, not us. It is God, the Holy Spirit in us, that decides whether to heal or not. It is completely up to Him. We just have to be obedient and pray for the healing. I just want to pray for a couple of people now. Let's all just pray. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we lift up Lynn Kropp, Lord, who's going to be having an operation this week. Lord, we pray for a miracle, Lord, right now. Lord, that she doesn't have to go and have her operation. But Lord, if you so desire that she needs to have an operation, I just pray, Lord, go before her. Holy Spirit, fill that room full of your presence. And Lord, we pray for a supernatural healing after the operation, that she's able to run around and just jump up and down, praising you. Heavenly Father, we lift up Maria Daniels, Eddie's wife from the cafe. We pray, Lord, for a miracle. Lord, we pray for healing in Jesus' name. We pray that you cover her with the blood of Jesus right now. Lord, we speak to those tumours in her neck and we speak to the filling of fluid in her brain. We say, be gone in Jesus' name. And be healed and whole in Jesus' name. Lord, we just lift up Amy Crook right now. Lord, who's not having a fun time with her pregnancy. We speak healed and whole in Jesus' name into that little baby right now. And Lord, we speak healed and whole into Amy's body right now. And Lord, we're expectant and we're just can't wait for that blessing to be born in Jesus' mighty name. And anyone else, Lord, that is suffering right now, we pray, Lord, that you will heal them from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The other one is miraculous powers. I was watching, was it Pirates of the Caribbean with my oldest girls the other night, and he's going, ooh, abracadabra, and all that. And that doesn't mean miraculous powers, okay? Also known by the working of miracles, this is another gift which involved performing supernatural events that could only be attributed by the power of God in Acts 2:22. This gift was exhibited by Paul in Acts 19, Peter in Acts 3, Stephen in Acts 6, and Philip in Acts 8. I'm going to write that down as it takes us along, but you can have a look at Book of Acts. Actually, I encourage you to read the Book of Acts. It's a powerful book. Okay, another one is distinguishing or discerning of spirits. Certain individuals possess the unique ability to determine the true message of God from that of the deceiver, Satan. Those methods include purveying deceptive and erroneous doctrine. Jesus said many would come in his name and would deceive many in Matthew 24, 4 and 5. But the gift of discerning spirits is given to the church to protect it from such of these. Speaking in tongues. Okay, the gift of tongues was one of the gifts given to the early church to enable the gospel to be preached throughout the world to all nations and all known languages. It involves the divine ability to speak languages previously unknown to the speaker. This gift authenticated the message of the gospel and those who preached it as the coming of God. The phrase diversity of tongues in the King James Version or the different kinds of tongues in the NIV effectively is now a powerful personal prayer language to God from God. Now, please don't think that you're not saved if you cannot speak in tongues. Okay, the Bible does not say that anywhere. If you're a Christian and you can't speak in tongues, you are saved. Amen? However, if you do want the gift of tongues, all you do need is to ask and want for it. I came to this church about, 12, 13 years ago, and it wasn't until 4 years after I was here that I could start speaking in tongues because I didn't want to speak in tongues. And then one day I was actually where you were, Alan, and Murray Faulkner was behind me and he was singing praises in tongues. And for just an instant, I said, Lord, I want to be able to sing like that. Now, Murray's got a pretty good voice. But I wanted to sing like what he's singing. He's singing a language to God. And all of a sudden, I could feel the filling of the Holy Spirit. And bang, I just started singing in tongues. And I've spoken in tongues ever since. If you want the gift, ask for it. Ask and it will be given. Interpretation of tongues. It's another gift. A person with a gift of interpreting tongues can understand what the tongue speaker is saying, even though they do not know the language that is being spoken. Ooh. The tongues interpreter would then communicate the message of the tongue speaker to everyone else so all could understand. Again, this has happened in this church. I remember one time, I think it was Doris, where you spoke out in tongues. And then someone interpreted it over here. That was an amazing morning. But if you're going to speak out in tongues in a church setting, there has to be an interpretation. We can go and speak in tongues and sing and praise and worship in tongues in our privately. That's fine. That's us communicating. I mean, I do that often. Believe it or not, I run out of words. I do. I'm praying to God. I'm going, you know, I've prayed for my wife. I've prayed for my children. And I pray for my wife again and again. And then I forget all the lovely things I speak about it, and then I just have to go into tongues. But it's true. If you want to pray, I mean, to pray for 5 minutes or even 2 minutes is really hard, isn't it, if we're honest? But then we can just keep praying in tongues. Okay? Ask and it will be given. Gift of helps, closely related to the gift of mercy, is the gift of helps. Those with gift of helps are those who can aid or render assistance to others within the church that have compassion and grace. Now, this has a broad range of possibilities for application. Most importantly, this is a unique ability to identify those who are struggling with doubt, with fears, and with other spiritual battles. To move toward those in spiritual need with a kind word and understanding and compassionate demeanour, and to speak scriptural truth that is both convicting and loving. It's the gift of helps. There's so many more, but begin to ask your friends here at the church what they believe that you are gifted of. Because I can tell you right now that I think I'm gifted at many things. But if I ask, say, 10 of you people to tell me what you think I'm gifted at, you know what? They are probably more right because they are seeing the out of me doing what I'm doing. If you're unsure, ask a group of people that you're friendly with, or your connect group. Do that at connect group. Tell your people, say, okay, we're going to go around the room now, but you're going to have a bit of paper, and I want you to write down what you think each person is gifted at. And then you put them all together, and you'll be surprised that they'll all probably be saying the same thing. And if that's your gifting, by go for it. Use it for the church. Okay, God wants you to lead a fulfilling, spiritually successful and powerful life. But that will not reach its fruition until you begin using the gift He has given to you. Number three, God has given you spiritual power. Okay, Erwin McManus, in his book Seizing Your Divine Moment, tells about his son, Aaron. And he says this: on one summer, Aaron went to a youth camp. He was just a little guy, and I was kind of glad because it was a church camp. I figured he wasn't going to hear about all the ghost stories because ghost stories can really cause a kid to have nightmares. But unfortunately, since it was a Christian camp, they didn't tell ghost stories because they don't believe in ghosts. They told demon and Satan stories instead. And so when Aaron got home, he was terrified. Dad, don't turn off the light, he said before going to bed. No, Daddy, you can stay here with me. Please stay here with me. Daddy, I'm afraid. They told all these stories about demons. And I wanted to say to him, son, they're not real. He goes, Daddy, would you pray for me that I'd be safe? And the man says, I could feel it. I could feel the warm blanket Christianity beginning to wrap around him, a life of safety, safety, safety. I said, Aaron, I will not pray for you to be safe. What a dad, eh? I will pray that God will make you dangerous, so powerful that demons will flee when you enter the room. He goes, all right, but Dad, can you please pray that I'd be really, really, really dangerous? But isn't that the kind of prayer that we should be praying? That God's power, that in God's power, that we would live lives that would make demons tremble. While it is great to know that we're safe in God's arms, it's just as important to know that God has empowered each and every one of us to be spiritually dangerous to the opposition. We need to understand that with God literally living within us and by having the gifts supernaturally given to us by God, that we will have the power to become everything God wants us to become. And that makes us spiritually dangerous to the enemy. But what kind of power does not come from approaching God from the position of strength, but rather from the power of surrender? Do you understand what I'm saying? We must surrender ourselves to be powerful, because in Him, in us, that makes us powerful. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk on wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Just as alcohol can control you in a negative way, the Holy Spirit can control you in the most positive way imaginable. But only when we surrender our lives to Him. And when we surrender our lives to Him, He promises us the fullness of power. That, my friends, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing more, nothing less. That surrender involves a putting away of sin, repenting of things that are displeasing to God by living a life of obedience. Romans 8, 10 and 11 says, since Christ lives within you, even though your body will die because of sin, your spirit is alive because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as He raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. See, God promises us the same type of power that is used to raise Jesus from the dead. It is the power that gives us to live holy lives. It is the power to give us strength for this journey. It is the power that gives us the boldness to tell others about our faith in Jesus Christ. And it is the power that grants us victory in spiritual warfare. This is the kind of power that you and I need to live the type of lives that are pleasing, that are satisfactory, that are sufficient and dedicated to God. Early in the history of the church had come under persecution, so they gathered together to pray to God. And look what happened. Acts 4:31. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached God's message with boldness. Notice that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That only happens when we first empty ourselves of ourselves. And we replace our selfish desires with God's desires. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we will begin to see the phenomenal things beginning to take place in both our lives and in the lives of the church and in the lives of this community that we're a part of. I hope and pray that you're all ready to experience the power of the Holy Spirit today. Can I have the music team, please? As we draw close, I want you to understand that I'm not talking about the same some type of theological theory here or some mystical experience. I'm talking about God literally empowering your life at a level that you've never, ever, ever dreamed of before. It can and it will happen. If you will simply allow God to take over and control your life, I can guarantee that you'll never, ever, ever regret it. For your young people, it's a struggle out there in the world. It's tough. What life throws at you is incredibly dangerous. I know for a lot of you, you've had problems this week. You've had major dramas going on. For some of you people out there, I know that's, you know, home life may be a struggle at the moment. God said it would never be easy. Life on here will never be easy. But when we allow God to control us, to be in us, to fill us, who can stand against us? He will give you the supernatural power and ability to face anything. I'm living proof of that. Most of you are all living proof of that. So over the last 5 weeks, I hope you've learned something about what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. The great gift that God has given to us, the Holy Spirit that indwells in us. As I said, don't think that you can come up the front and just be poof, filled with the Holy Spirit, because I'm not going to fill you. He fills you. When we get rid of our old self daily, He will fill us up. That, my friends, is the power of the Holy Spirit right there. And if we want to see this church change, if we want to see this community change, we'll be transformed in Jesus' name, we all have to take part. What gift do you have that serves the church? Many of you have got talents. I'm looking out there, I can see talented people everywhere. But is that the gift that God wants you to use for the church? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask right now, Lord, we're quiet moment. Lord, that you will just show us or help us find our gift that you've given us. Lord, forgive us, Lord, who have placed that gift in a place that we don't want to get it. We've hidden it away because we think it's too hard. Lord, I pray now, help us to grab that gift. Hold on strong with it. And Lord, just use it. Lord, I pray right now for each and every one person each and everyone in this building, Lord, that you'll start to fill them from inside. And Lord, that gift, Lord, will be an anointing to them. Lord, I pray not only for our church, but the church. Here in Kalamunda Shire, here in WA and across this nation, I pray that let every believer, Lord, that you'll give them a revelation of what their gift is and how they can use it for the church. Lord, there's so many of us, Lord, that aren't doing anything for your church because we don't know what to do. But Lord, right now I pray for each and every one here that you will open their eyes. Open their ears to that gift that you have specially given to them. so that they can serve your church. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.